sure that the presence is going before you, and whatever had been wrong somewhere is being taken care of. That which had been wrong will appear as it is in its correct state of being. The presence is always dissolving the appearance of error. And you, in the absence of anxious thought, have permitted it to enter your human consciousness so that you can stand there doing nothing by might or by power, but letting the Spirit of the Lord go before you. The battle is never yours. It is always the battle of spirit, and a spirit is not a battle. Now, there are several missing links, of course, that we still have to patch up on our way to true understanding. And one of them is the nature of this human body and its function. This will help us in releasing the power of spirit in our experience. When the Father created you in his image and likeness, he created you perfect as he is in heaven. There was nothing withheld. There was nothing lacking. You were, you are, you ever will be that perfection which he created as the offspring of God. You are that now. And because the Father endowed you with every quality that he has, he also gave you the power to recreate yourself. First, he created a spiritual being called man, Son of God, a being that has a spiritual body, a spiritual mind, a spiritual soul, a spiritual life. And that is your name. Ask, he said, in my name, and it shall be given thee. My name is Spirit, and thou art Spirit. And in your spiritual selfhood, you and the Father are one. Now, your divine image and likeness, which is your self, is a spiritual being. And that spiritual being has the power to recreate itself, and does. And as it recreates itself from the invisible to the visible, it pushes forth through mine an image of itself, which becomes your physical body. And now this dear physical body, having been pushed forth into visibility, having been born, as it were, loses all remembrance of the spirit which pushed it forth into visibility. And so we walk around saying, this is me. But this isn't me. This is the outer me. This is the outer image. But within, that which pushed me forth into visibility is me. And that is the spiritual divine image and likeness of the Father called the child of God, which I am. And that I, that me, is the eternal, immortal self created in the image of God. And so while I parade out here as a physical being alone, I am not even whole or complete. I am an incomplete fragment calling himself man, and I'm not man at all. I'm a physical image in time and space. And the physical body is not even my body, for I have an incorporeal spiritual body, which is the body of the Father, and which is perfect. And so we begin to see, when Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole, he was always trying to bring to another the realization that the outer self is not the complete self. The inner self is that which the Father created in his image. And that incorporeal being is your name. And when you ask in your name, then it is given. Then is the spiritual power released in you. Now you can see that in the translation of your inner being into an outer one, the channel through which this translation is made becomes a vital factor. And because mind is the channel through which the inner appears as the outer, the quality of that mind becomes vital in our final understanding of true being. As long as that mind is cluttered, conditioned, that which appears through this cluttered, conditioned mind will take on the qualities of that conditioning. And this is how the body becomes conditioned. It takes on the conditioning of the mind, which is the channel through which invisibility becomes visible. This conditioned mind is where we focus our attention at this moment. When this mind is released from conditioning, when this mind is uncluttered, when it is illumined, when it is transparent, then all the qualities of your spiritual self would translate through that mind. And out here appears a body physically which reflects and embodies all of the qualities of the spiritual you which projected itself into visibility. Now let's look at a ship made of wood that you're going to carve and see that this ship is a form, and its qualities depend completely upon the wood which formed that ship. If the wood is weak, the ship is weak. If the wood is strong, the ship is strong. All of the qualities of the wood become the qualities of the ship. The wood is the fabric. The ship is the form. We have taken this form called the physical body, and we have also assumed that it was the fabric, but it is not. The fabric of this body is the mind through which it came. That mind governs this form. And if that mind is dominated, not by God, if that mind is dominated by world belief, then world belief is governing the form, and the fabric of world belief becomes the fabric of the form. If world belief entertains ideas of good and evil, that becomes the fabric through human mind, which is embedded in the human form. And that form now is divorced from its own spiritual being and shows forth the world beliefs rather than the qualities of the true fabric of spirit. Now, as you pull the switch, as that mind is no longer subject to world beliefs and becomes more and more transparent to the spirit within, then the spirit, which is the perfection, the full embodiment of God, the harmony, the abundance, the supply, the wisdom, the allness of God, that flows through the transparent human mind, and the fullness of it becomes the quality of that physical form which we have called me. There's no impediment, no glass darkly, no barrier. And the physical form shows forth all of the qualities of the fabric of spirit from which it was born. To illuminate that mind, to remove the barriers of world thought, to take that mind out of world belief, is an automatic release of spiritual power into human experience. Now stop and think for a moment that there is a you which no one has ever seen, nor yourself, which was created by the Father, and because of this is now and ever will be under a state of grace. That incorporeal you is under the state of grace with which it was empowered the very life of its being by God. That incorporeal you is here now and ever will be. And as you rest in the awareness of this spiritual selfhood of your being, you know it can never age. You know it can never suffer. You know it has life eternal. Why do we not experience that which we are? Because the human self and the incorporeal God can never be one. There can be no union between physical man and incorporeal God. There cannot be conscious union between God and physical man, ever. Two cannot be made into one. But the one that you are is one with God already. The one that you are, the incorporeal spiritual form that is yours, is the life of God now. And the release then of the human concept that I am physical man is the release of spiritual truth and consciousness. And this release is the truth that sets you free into oneness with God. There cannot be an incorporeal you and a physical you. This duality is the separation from God which prevents the realization of oneness through which grace flows into being. There must be a realization that the physical me is but an outpicturing of the mind. That candid camera of world belief is taking a continuous photograph of the kingdom of God. And as it takes its photograph, these pictures appear as the people we see, the circumstances, the situations, the conditions, the four kingdoms, including man, all appearing out there in physical images, seen through a mind which is not the mind of God, seen through a mind which is a sense mind, which has given us an extract, which has taken one little bite out of a great big apple. And then we see we have taken a false sense of our own true self. And living out of that false sense of self, trying to make it better and improve it, we have been concerned with the form and not with the fabric. We have not sought the kingdom of God within, which is the fabric. We have sought the physical comforts without. We have sought the forms. We've tried to make a desk without having any wood. We've tried to make earrings without having a metal. We've tried to make these forms out of airy nothing, without a fabric. And the fabric is the consciousness of the presence of spirit. Spirit is the fabric of all things, because spirit is the only substance. And so as we go within, not through this mind, not through physical power, but through the Spirit of the Father, we discover a beautiful truth. We discover that our Heavenly Father does know that we have need of these things, that it is His good pleasure to give us the kingdom, and that He has a very beautiful way of doing it. When we are absent from the body and with the Lord, when we are out of this mortal mind, when we are taking no anxious thought, when we are being still, we short-circuit that universal sense which is feeding us its false testimony. We cut off that flow of false testimony through the human mind into the body. Instead, now the soul brings us the fullness of God being. And then the Father doeth the works in the invisible. That spirit which is your very being draws unto itself every need it has and manufactures spiritual form. Actually manufactures spiritual form to fulfill every single need. That's the Father doing the works. That's the Father giving us the kingdom. And out here on the human side, somebody looking at these invisible spiritual forms says, see, he has money, he has a car, he has a home, he has the comforts of life. He certainly has, because he has the fabric. The invisible fabric of spirit doeth the works. Now, as you watch Jesus walk through the Holy Land saying, I work, my Father worketh, and I work hitherto. Do you realize that he didn't have a choice even? All that he did was to be in a state of oneness, in a state of a human mind where there was no barrier to what the Father was doing. And what the Father was doing is what appeared to the visible human sense, because there was no Jesus there to obstruct what the Father was doing. The Father within was doing the work, and there was no human mind there as a barrier to prevent the invisible function of spirit to appear in the without. The inner and the outer were one and the same. And so it is with you. That very spiritual power is functioning in your true being right this instant. The Father works, and you work hitherto, provided you're not standing there behind or in front of the Father trying to direct the traffic. If there is no physical sense of you, then you work hitherto. But when there is a physical sense of you, the Father works, but it doesn't come through into your human experience. So we see, I of mine own self can do nothing is a very stern command. Lean not on thine own understanding. Step out of that mind activity, and in that moment, the infinite becomes your teacher, your life, your being, yourself, your law, your activity, your harmony, and your perfection. Where is the ply? It's in the invisible action of spiritual law. Could the Father create anything which was incomplete? Were you not created of the Father? And therefore, in your completeness is your supply. In your completeness is your health, your happiness, your companionship. The fullness of your being is already established here now. This is God's invisible creation. Its translation into physical form in a visible world is not your job. It is not your job at all. It is the function of spirit. Spirit, not might, not power, not brain, not human intelligence. Spirit produces your supply. Spirit produces everything that you require, just as through the activity of spirit, the physical organs are maintained, the heart beats right, the lungs beat right, the brain works intelligently. So it is when you realize that physical being is not your name, you release the mental effort that goes into protecting, improving, saving this physical being. And that which brought it forth, your invisible, spiritual, incorporeal self, is maintained perfectly from within by the law of God. And it appears in the without in the same degree of perfection. It wasn't a question of making it so, it was a question of removing the mental barrier, the human thought. The spiritual power is functioning now. It's functioning right now as the very operation of your true being. Now in the morning, if you can make your at-one-ment with God a firm realization, you will discover that spiritual power does govern your day. There won't be anything mental in it at all. The moment you have attained an awareness of the presence, spiritual power is functioning in the without as it is in the within. It's never stopping in the within. The kingdom of God is within you, and you can be sure God is functioning there. But this within can never come into your experience until you know the truth of being, and being is not corporeal. As long as you're living in that corporeal sense of you, you're a human asking for spiritual help when you don't need spiritual help, because you are that very help that you're seeking. And that unrealization of what you are is the barrier that prevents you from receiving the very thing you're seeking. Spirit must be your permanent realization of self. You shouldn't walk across a room without knowing who you are. You shouldn't go to sleep at night without knowing that you are incorporeal spirit. And our failure to do this is a door that stands between us and truth and limits us to the finite mind and exposes us to the universal mortal mind and imprisons us in a world of good and evil. Not only are you not a physical being, but no one is. There is no physical anything. There is the incorporeal Spirit of God. And the Father formed us of His incorporeal Spirit. You've never seen God. You've never touched God. He has no visible shape. We were created in His image and likeness. We have no visible shape. We have no physical form. We are as incorporeal as the Father who granted us His life. All that I have is thine, including my incorporeality. You have a spiritual form. Now then, you can continue to live in the belief of physical form, but you can't turn to spirit and expect it to come into a physical form that has no existence. And carried further, that refers to lungs and heart and brains and blood and bones. These are the mental outpicturing of your spiritual form. And the transformation must take place through the renewing of your mind. That mind being renewed with truth will transform the physical body so that it shines forth the glory of the spiritual body, and then the fabric and the form will be one. And we won't have forms without fabric, wondering why they're ill, wondering why they die, wondering why they can't find perfection or harmony, when these very qualities are the qualities of spirit, and the physical form is separated from spirit by the mind, which must be renewed, as Paul told us. It must be reborn of the spirit. without that rebirth of the spirit, that physical body will always be a branch cut off. And it will always be purged. It will always have to return to begin again, so that it may bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. The transformation from mental consciousness, from physical consciousness, to consciousness of your spiritual being must precede harmony, supply, abundance, wisdom, perfection, and the absence of such things as war and disease. We cannot have these forms until we have accepted the fabric of spirit. We cannot accept the fabric of spirit into a human form. There must be a conscious awareness that I am spiritual being, spiritual form, invisible form, incorporeal. And when you meditate with this as your starting point, you will discover, whereas before it was difficult perhaps to get into meditation, you will discover it's very difficult to get out of it. Because once you are in the awareness of yourself as incorporeal being, you're touching truth. You are in truth, and this is the truth that sets you free. Joel is on record as saying that your awareness of incorporeal being is the highest truth you can know. After that, there's nothing more to teach. They're just a state of being. And of course, you can see why Jesus was the greatest healer the world has ever known. He had no physical beings to heal. He didn't know any. He did not recognize corporeal beings. He recognized the incorporeal, spiritual form of man and knew that he was it. Why callest thou me good? This physical being isn't me at all. And don't praise me for my intelligence. My doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. Always he was revealing that he was spiritual being, spiritual form, incorporeal, not physical. I am the light of the world. What's physical about that? But ye too are the light of the world. And if you believe on the works that I do, greater works shall ye do. He didn't see a cripple, you know that now. He didn't see multitudes who weren't being fed. He saw the incorporeal reality invisible to human sense, where the power of spirit is always functioning, because spirit itself is its own state of grace. It needs no assistance. There's nothing you or I could humanly do that could ever stop spirit from being what it is. Right now, God is functioning perfectly. But we must drop that dual image which we maintain in mind of a self that is non-existent, a self that we have been feeding as if it were real. And then one day, there is a descent of the Holy Ghost. There is a moment of glorious insight. A moment in which you know yourself to be the Spirit of God. And in that moment, you find love is flowing through you, compassion, understanding, realization of your true being, and all fear drops away. Because there's nothing left to fear. That which the world had seen and called you was but that appearance through human eyes of the spiritual being that you are, which is always under the grace of God. There is no physical body left to fear for, no physical condition left to fear for. And the fullness of your Father's selfhood and your selfhood are then one. Now this must be a target the realization of my spiritual selfhood brings me into an automatic oneness with all spiritual beings. And as you are able to close your eyes and see that all of God's kingdom is without physical body, is incorporeal, and that wherever you look at physical form, that represents your acceptance of a mental picture of the true invisible incorporeal form that stands there. There is one incorporeal form, which is God, and as you see that it is always present, you can rest in the oneness with it. It is your being. It is omnipresent. It is you. And the feeling of this omnipresent incorporeal self becomes, in a moment, in a glimpse, the descent of the Holy Ghost. When you begin your day that way, you're not concerned about a physical form or about a raise from the employer or about anything that the world has to throw at you, because you're seeing the incorporeal universe right where the world appears to be. And then spiritual power, which is functioning always, becomes your experience. You don't release it. You remove the fellow who doesn't exist, and you're in it. You are it. We're getting back out of effect now into cause. Out of the realm of physical effect into the realm of spiritual cause. Out of appearance into spiritually righteous judgment. We're living in the kingdom of cause. We're living in source, in spirit, resting in the word. We're getting rid of the effect. We're getting rid of bread alone. We're living by the word. And that word will be made flesh in your experience as you reject the life of effect, the life of the visible. And instead of trying to seek the forms and to covet them, seek ye first the spiritual kingdom of God within you. And there you will discover that your Father gives you the fullness of his being, and it forms itself into the forms that the world calls effect. All of your supply, your eternal life, is embodied in that you which has the glory that was given to you before the world was, and will have that glory after the world has been. Try in the morning to get that realization of your spiritual form, your spiritual incorporeal self, and then spiritual power will be your escort all day, going before you, performing that which you are ordained to do. Let that be your continuous target, and someday, as we all learn to live in that continuous realization of incorporeal selfhood, that circle of Christhood will shine ever so much brighter. Next week we're going to discuss mystical law. We've come through the release of spiritual power. We're coming into mystical law. And for those of you who won't be here, I think it's Mother's Day. Those of you who won't be here, we're a very happy Parents' Day to you. Thank you.